CliffCentral.com.
Yay, Garrett.
Yay, this is so much fun. Okay, this has been great. Thanks, guys. Bye.
One yay and we're good to go. Good morning, Gareth. How are you?
Yeah, guten Morgen auf Deutschland.
Oh, and guten Morgen to you too? Is that the right thing to say?
Yeah, vielen Dank. Dankeschön. Yeah, no, absolutely is the right thing to say. Good morning, everybody. What's happening?
What's happening with you?
Well, Germany's been really, really interesting. I'm not going to give you too much of a breakdown of the actual plan of events that I've been part of the last 3-4 days. Mm-hmm. Today is the fourth day of this conference that we've been on. It's sort of like a media tour. And I'm here with a group of about 9 other South Africans. We've been talking about the media, fake news, free speech, met some really interesting people, a professor from the university here, talking about what the situation is in Germany in terms of free speech and hate speech, and it's fascinating. I mean, it's the kind of thing that we're involved in a discussion around almost every day in South Africa. So it's great to hear what the German perspective is and to hear that they're struggling with the same thing we are. I mean, it's, you know, it's a worldwide thing. I think everybody in the world is grappling with these things now. The internet, what that means for all of us in terms of our ability to communicate with each other, spread nonsense as much as we spread useful info. So it's been tremendous, and we've been involved in a lot of talks. So the part that I'm not going to share with you yet, because we've done a number of really interesting interviews that I think will, for those people who are interested in that stuff, you'll get a very good snapshot of what we've been talking about. We'll organize those into podcasts and let you hear them as soon as they're ready.
Nice.
Well, it's so cool to have you on the line this morning. We have been feeling your presence, Gareth. You're missing your presence this week, rather.
Listen, am I not meant to congratulate you? Your sister had a baby.
Yay!
Jawohl!
Yay is a recurring theme this morning, but yes.
Yay!
Of course, what is a baby born from my family meant to do except then rather enter the world on Beyonce's birthday?
Oh, right. Is that what happened? Oh, you planned this, didn't you?
I know. That's why I was conspiring with the doctor saying, wait for it, and time it perfectly on the 4th. But yes, I stopped by the hospital yesterday as well just to see the baby. Born on the 4th, 1.65 kgs. It's a girl. Still haven't decided on a name yet, but yes, finally after the mess of the past couple of days, both my sister and the baby are happy and healthy. So, yeah, we're grateful.
Yay. That's lovely. That's great news. Yay.
Yeah. Yay.
But
it's a good time to be born. I mean, you know, where everybody in South Africa loves this time of year because it's the beginning of spring and yay. And it actually is my mother's birthday today. And I'm always jealous of the month of September because you know how rude I am about August, right?
Yes.
You've still got the wind and everything else. And it looks to me like from the bit of social media that I've seen, everybody in South Africa is very, very excited about that and not so excited about the recession.
That just, according to our finance minister, he didn't even see coming. So I don't know how we're meant to deal with that.
Yeah, not yay.
Yeah.
Definitely not a yay.
Not yay at all. Well, Gareth, you know, just you said a little earlier, you were talking about how it's a German perspective that you were learning from this conference. But this is your second year specifically there for this time of year. I'm interested to find out, though, what other types of people who attend this conference and what are their perspectives as well?
Well, I'll tell you who they are and then you can kind of figure out some of it yourself. There's someone called Andisi Wehurat for the Sunday Times. There's someone called CV Ware who does, she's the communications head for a political party. Then there's, someone who works with, CV Ware. Then there is a Her name is Marsha Lee. She's from the Cape. Then there's an independent political commentary site and news site called Politics Web. Mm-hmm. So there's a guy called James Myberg here. They're the organizers who are largely from the Friedrich Naumann Stiftung, which is the it's an organization, it's an institute that was begun almost 100 years ago. They were started to encourage free speech, liberal thinking, you know, and open society, all the kinds of things that I suppose the Germans have firsthand experience in, which we also share with them in terms of a past that has been difficult. Everything from, you know, the two world wars, the rise of the Nazis, the destruction after the wars, this ability to kind of start fresh, which is what we did in 1994. And then for them, dealing with the separation of East and West, they dealt with firsthand the difficulties of establishing essentially two countries where there had been one before and then turning that back into one afterwards, which is very much what South Africa went through in some ways. And post 1990, that reunification and what that meant for Germans, what it meant for the language, what it meant for the culture, what it meant for, you know, democracy and liberal thinking and free speech. And then there are a couple of other people too who are from think tanks and from, you know, places around South Africa where there are, you know, where there are communities that need new media outlets. We've spoken to some people who are very much involved in the world of new media. But we've also been able to do a bit of a tour because it is my second time in Berlin. The first time I was in Berlin was really for two nights and it was as a tourist. And the rest of that last trip to Berlin, which I think was in May of last year, that was for the Global Media Forum, which was in Bonn, which was the old capital of West Germany prior to unification. And that was actually the place where Madiba first spoke to the German parliament when he was released in 1990.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and after that, they moved the capital back to Berlin. And it's incredible. I mean, I was saying to Pumi and to Greg, who are also both from Cliff Central and are here with me, we were walking around the other night, and we walked down a street where the building on our right-hand side was the building that Hermann Göring sat in during World War II as the head of the Luftwaffe. And you kind of get this chill down your spine because you realize that, first of all, Greg, who's Jewish, wouldn't be able to walk down that street without being in peril of death, and Pumi probably the same, because we know that the Nazis weren't exactly racially unbiased. This was the most racist and fascist regime in human history, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And to imagine that either of them would have been able to walk down that street 70 years ago was impossible. And you just get this, yeah, the building is still the same building. You know, they've restored parts of it. Most of the buildings that the German government occupied were destroyed. Most of them were bombed to such an extent that there was no point in restoring them. There was nothing left. We're actually staying in a hotel which is one block away from where Heinrich Himmler and the Gestapo and the SS used to have their offices. And that's absolutely chilling because you take a walk. There's an exhibit there called The Topography of Terror. It's just absolutely terrifying to see how 1933, in one year, this party completely took over the German way of thinking, doing things. They completely consumed all national sentiment. It was a very dangerous time, and it could happen anywhere in the world. Mm. I think the greatest defense we have against this happening again is probably because of things like the internet, to be perfectly honest, because it would be very difficult to control it the way that people might have been able to do it back in the days of Joseph Goebbels and Adolf Hitler. And when you walk past sites like this and you get to see these exhibits, it really is frightening, but at the same time you realize, my God, it's great that we live at the time that we do, because Berlin is now a thriving, democratic, functional capital city. You know, you've got Angela Merkel, who presides over the most powerful economy in Europe, and they are integral to so many of the institutions that make Europe a good place, that make Europe a free place, that make Europe the place that all these immigrants want to come to. And that's probably the biggest question in Germany at the moment, is this question of immigration.
And what's their stance on it?
Well, it depends, because there are a number of different parties in Germany. There's a party called the AFP that everybody's worried about at the moment, because they're a sort of right-leaning, well, far-right party in some people's opinion, that are very anti-immigration. And they just organized a march in a city called Chemnitz, which didn't go very well. There was some incidents of violence, and the Germans are worried, because for them it's just not that long ago that they had to deal with this kind of thing on a much bigger, much uglier scale. So it's in living memory for some people, and it makes them very uncomfortable. But of course, those incidents are a minority situation. Most of Germany is very welcoming. We went to dinner on Tuesday night with our listener in Berlin, Stefan, and he took us to a place that's a really cosmopolitan part of Berlin. You know, 70% of the city is immigrants.
Wow.
70% of Berlin is made up of people who weren't born in Berlin. They're either from other parts of Germany or from other parts of the world. So there's a large Turkish population. There's a large Russian population. There are lots of people from Serbia and Bosnia and Croatia and Austria and, you know, the Middle East. There are lots of Syrians. So it's a very mixed up and interesting and diverse place. So I don't think Germany has the problem that a lot of people see it being outside of, you know, in the countryside. I think it's still quite German. And in the south, in places like Bavaria, it's kind of the same as it has been for the last 40 or 50 years in terms of population composition. But in places like Berlin, it really is very mixed up. And it gives you an idea of how a lot of these people have integrated into German society. Some of the people who consider themselves, you know, Turkish by ancestry consider themselves very German because they speak German. They're the third generation maybe born in this country. So they don't think of themselves as being Turks.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Other than the conference, how else have you been letting your hair down? Because, I mean, if anyone else doesn't really know this, the place to keep up with you is Instagram now. The selfies with the bears and.
Yeah, you know, they've got these bears all over Berlin, which I think are hilarious. And so I'm trying to collect all the bears, take a picture of each of them.
Statues.
Yeah, exactly. They're like these big porcelain statues, and they've all got different things painted on them. So I'm trying to squeeze in as much as I can. There's really interesting shopping in Berlin. There are famous nightclubs. I haven't been out to any of them. There's one called the Berghain, which is, it's world renowned. There's a guy at the door, and everybody has to wear black. Oh. And when you get to the door, he decides whether, and you queue for like 3 hours, and then he decides whether he'll let you in or not, based on how interesting you look, or how good looking you are, or how.
It's a bit difficult to look interesting when you're in black.
It's incredible.
Look different from everyone else?
You get these people in like. Yeah, but you get these gimp suits and things, and you know the Germans are weird. Like there are clubs here that I've heard about, especially from our listener Stefan, who told us that he's heard incredible stories from the locals about some of these places. You know, the Germans have some very strange behavioural quirks.
Yeah, and little fetishes and things.
Oh yeah,
I'd love to go.
They like lots
club.
Of weird stuff, which is hilarious. But I haven't been to any of those places. Had some interesting dinners. I had Vietnamese food on Tuesday.
Oh.
I had Italian last night. I had a German currywurst the other day. You know, they have like a, basically like a frankfurter, and then they pour this curry sauce all over it, which is again proof that immigration can have tremendous benefits. Berliners love a currywurst more than almost any other kind of sausage, and the Germans love their sausages.
Oh, so many of sausages. Lots of sausage in Germany.
Yeah, you've been before.
Yeah, and I have. I went to the Grand Prix, and I tried to eat mainly German food when I was there. But yes, a lot of sausage as well.
Where in Germany did you go?
Munich.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And you know, in South Africa, every restaurant is European or, you know, usually Italian or French or Greek. And in Germany, most of the restaurants are actually traditional German food. You don't really get that here. It's the other way around.
Yeah. I mean, in Munich, they absolutely are. But Berlin is, again, so mixed up because you can find anything. You know, there's Lebanese food, there's falafel, it's really incredible.
How's the beer?
Hey, Nolo.
Hey, AG.
The beer is good. There's a beer that I really like, and I don't drink beer. I'm not a beer drinker, but there's one called Warsteiner, which is it's a pilsner, which I like very much. It's kind of a lighter. You get those very heavy beers that they call the Schwarzbier, and it's amazing how quickly I've been able to pick up German. Like I can pretty much now, within only, 4 days, and I'm not boasting about this because there's still a lot of rough edges, but if I turn on TV now, I can listen and I'll pick up, I don't know, every second or third word, and I'll be able to string it together.
Oh, wow.
That's impressive.
So I can kind of understand it, and Warsteiner beer helps you to do that.
It just smooths over the edges, right?
Yeah. You suddenly find yourself speaking good, you know, decent German when you've got a Warsteiner or two in. It's terrific. Yeah, it's really, really interesting. Success. And as I said, it's always good to catch up with, you know, people who live here, like Stefan, who listens to us. We got into his car Tuesday, and he took us to the Tempelhof Air Base, which is now a park. They took the city airport and they turned it into a park. So you can go there and you can kite surf. You can take your dogs. People ride their bikes. They skate on the old landing strip, which was actually the main city airport that was built by the Nazis. And it's now a place where everybody can go and chill. You can go and relax. And the weather here has been amazing. So it's been hot, but not midsummer hot. You know, I've been walking around in a T-shirt every day and I'm not cold. In fact, it's been quite warm, but not so hot that you're sweating and you're tired and the sun beats down. It's none of that stuff.
Yeah. It's been showing off in the best of ways.
Yeah.
And over the next couple of days, what do you have planned for that?
For what?
For the next couple of days.
I can give you the schedule. Today we've got a couple of talks. We've been spending a lot of time. I mean, I don't want to give you the impression that I'm here wandering around with lots of time, because we've really got a chock-a-block schedule.
You are there.
And the only time
business
we've got usually is after all the lectures and presentations that we've been part of. There was a very interesting presentation by a German woman called Ann-Kathrin, who told us all about the laws in Germany against hate speech and against things like, you know, Holocaust denial. If you deny the Holocaust in Germany, like, you know, that idiot president of Iran, not Ayatollah Khomeini, the former president, Shit, I've just gone completely blank. Anyway, the former Iranian president, Ahmadinejad, that's it. He used to say that the Holocaust never happened. Now, in Germany, that's a crime. Holocaust denial will get you into serious legal trouble. So it's not an opinion thing. That's something that's protected by law. And again, because of Germany's unique history, they take a very serious look at things like that and don't consider it very interesting or funny if you have that kind of point of view, because there's a lot of pain and and anger associated with that stuff. So it really depends on little things like that in the law that we don't necessarily have in South Africa that makes it different and allows us to understand where perhaps we could do better or where perhaps we need to make our law simpler. And from that point of view, it's fascinating. So today we've got two or three lectures. We're going to one of the institutes nearby that does a lot of work in this respect. Yesterday we had a presentation by a guy who's done empirical scientific studies on fake news. So he's actually analyzed, you know, certain events in recent German history. And based on those events, he's compiled very detailed reports on how the fake news phenomenon spreads, which publications are responsible for spreading it, how it works on social media. And that was interesting because you see the trends. And, you know, in South Africa, there's a lot of if you sometimes go onto someone's Facebook feed and they put up a story about I saw one yesterday. What was it? That South African farms are now being taken over by, you know, the state. And now, while we know that the state has an intention to expropriate without compensation, as far as I know, not one farm has been, you know, occupied by the state. I haven't seen the news story where Cyril rolls in with his blue light brigade and takes a farm away from someone. It hasn't happened yet, but these news sites are spreading that information like it's true. And then there was a story I saw on one of my friend's Facebook things the other day, and they believed this, that like Donald Trump's going to send troops to South Africa. And no, I thought, you know, surely you can tell that's bullshit, but people can't.
Mm. These stories,
I think it's real.
These fake stories create, you know, unnecessary panic.
Yeah.
Do you know in Germany if whether or not there's a penalty for such? Because I know here, which is, we don't have such.
There are penalties. I mean, there are very serious laws around particularly Holocaust denial, anti-Semitism. If you, for example, gave a Hitler salute in Germany, you'd be arrested.
Hmm.
And nobody does, so you don't hear about this because, I mean, you mostly would be smart enough to know that's not a great idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, in South Africa, we don't necessarily have that level of law to stop people from behaving antisocially. We might have the opposite problem, that while there are racists, they're very easily hounded out by social media, and sometimes, you know, their lives are made extremely complicated, but by their own doing. And we can debate endlessly whether or not that's a good thing or not, but this mob online will take care of them. And I think that's kind of a little sinister in some ways. We have the opposite problem that someone like, you know, Julius Malema can say he's going to cut the throat of whiteness, and there are no consequences to that for him. And that's a very clear racist and provocative statement. Now, in Germany, he would be arrested.
And it's conversations like the ones that you are having there this week that's really going to change things around, hopefully, and that's what I believe.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I think, you know, we're learning a lot. I think everybody on the trip, there have been some very energetic debates from the South Africans. You know, we're loud. I walked past a restaurant last night and I heard laughter, loud laughter, and I knew it had to be South African, so I went over and guess what? South Africans. So there's a lot of participation. It's not just quiet little lecture halls. Our little group is making a big noise, and we're participating very actively in what's going on here. So I think it's a very worthwhile trip. And, of course, I'll give you all the feedback. We're putting together a podcast series, so I think that'll be fascinating to listen to. And in the meantime, I'll be updating my Instagram and putting up lots of interesting stuff on social media. So stick around for that and listen up when the podcasts are ready.
Fantastic. And yes, if anyone does want to catch up, because we have worked with, please give me the foundation, the Friedrich.
The Friedrich Naumann Stiftung.
You see, it's so much better if you say it.
It's a lot, mate.
I'll get the accent right one day. We have worked with them before, and we did the podcast series Freedom Versus. And if you want to catch up on that, it's still available on cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, and there is another terrific series coming up soon. That we put together with them about the Constitutional Court and the history of the Constitutional Court. So look out for that as soon as that's ready in the next couple of months.
Awesome. Have fun, Gareth. You're going to just carry on having a ball over the next couple of days.
Yes, and I'll be back on Monday, so it's not too long. It's two more days.
Please bring me some beer.
You know what? I don't know if I can actually bring that across borders, but I'll try, Nola.
Thanks, G. Thanks, man.
All right, are you gonna give us some news?
Yes, it's almost time for the five things that you need to know this morning. Before we get into that, though, Leanne, this is your moment to shine. Well, you can get all you need to know about taking care of your furry family members. Pause for Thoughts is a 10-part podcast series brought to you by Pet Heaven, South Africa's leading online pet food delivery service, hosted by
Leanne Mole.
Ah, yes it is. You can find out about nutrition, socializing your dog, traveling with your pets, puppy training, common health issues, pet insurance, and so much more. All 10 episodes are available now on the cliffcentral.com website or wherever you listen to your podcast. Just look for Pause for Thought, and that's P-A-W-S for Thought. Pet Heaven is an online-only pet supplies business offering recurring deliveries to keep your pets regularly fed, exceptional customer service, and competitive pricing on all their brands. So check them out at petheaven.co.za.
I can highly recommend it.
She said so ever so modestly. Leanne, what are the five things we need to know this morning?
Well, there's a fire that's been raging for hours in Joburg. It's actually in the Gauteng Health Department building in the Joburg CBD, and it's been raging since yesterday, more than 7 hours after it broke out. Firefighters are still working to extinguish the blaze. Three of their own firefighters have died in the blaze. One fireman tripped on the 23rd floor and he plunged to his death. Two of his colleagues later died from smoke inhalation. Roads are closed in the area. Smoke still coming out from the top floors of the building. More than a dozen firefighters are still inside the blaze and have recovered the bodies of their colleague. There are reports that the safety standards were not up to scratch. Officials have confirmed that the building failed to meet health and safety standards. Apparently last month, an inspection of the building showed that only 21% of safety regulations were met. And the MEC for Infrastructure Development has further conceded that other buildings in the area need to be reinforced to meet minimum requirements. In other news, Markus Juster, the former Steinhoff chief executive officer, is appearing in Parliament to answer questions from a joint sitting of the finance and other committees on that's today and yesterday. He says that losing money played no role in his decision to quit the company last December. He says his departure was because the board, against his advice, decided to launch a fresh probe into allegations that German authorities started probing in 2015 and which two Steinhoff-appointed firms had also investigated, finding nothing wrong. Juster says that the board's decision meant a delay in Steinhoff reporting its financial statements, leading to investor uncertainty and the collapse in the share price. The former Steinhoff CEO gave his testimony with two senior counsels and two attorneys by his side.
Gareth, would you have loved to be a fly on the wall to really hear the truth about that?
Well, I saw a picture of a whole lot of people with their cameras crowding around Juster. I think this is the first time he's actually appeared publicly since Steinhoff fell apart almost a year ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I'm glad the Germans did this investigation or we would never have known. I mean, it all kind of came to light because they were busy looking into how Steinhoff were hiding money in various off-the-records ways. And this is the way I suppose a lot of companies in the world have hidden their own personal accounting. Mm. And I think it's very bad. I think it's obviously it's dishonest. It makes a mockery of reporting to shareholders, which is the reason that people do or don't invest in companies. And Marcus Huest has got a lot to answer for.
Yeah, we briefly touched on it yesterday, saying that he really hasn't said much over the past couple of months. We only even heard of his resignation because of a text that he sent to some members of his team over WhatsApp, and that was it. So, yeah, it was very interesting to see him out in public.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt the guy is a talented businessman, and when he started Steinhoff and a lot of its ancillary companies, people were saying this is the most brilliant guy. I mean, Christo Wiese trusted him with all kinds of business, and he certainly is a talented businessman, but he was also doing some very nefarious and crooked things. So like a lot of talented people, you can use your talent for good or you can use it for bad. And I think in some ways he's used his talent for bad, and now those chickens are coming home to roost. There is no such thing as a free lunch.
Mm-hmm. And as long as people are held accountable to their action, whether it's the state capture inquiry, and we'll be chatting to Karen Warner a little later about that, or now people having to face up in Parliament, I think now is the time.
Oh, yay, Karen Morn. That's going to be a fun voting platform.
Yay!
Yay!
Speaking of accountability, this first story bothers me. If this building failed the health and safety inspections, why wasn't anything done about it?
Well, this is what the building is saying. And I mean, it's a government building, and they're saying we never received orders to vacate the building.
So how did it come out that the health and safety inspection showed
exactly
such?
There's a huge gap of communication or something that we're not hearing, which must have happened between the inspection and them not leaving the building.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on. I really like this. It's if you had to shorten forum on China-Africa cooperation, what would you get?
China-Africa?
Forum.
Oh, forum.
On China-Africa cooperation.
FOCA.
FOCA. It's exactly what it is. FOCAC.
Oh, lovely.
You can't make this stuff up. So FOCA has been happening in Beijing. And we have a number of South Africans and African leaders who've made the trip to Beijing with the aim of bolstering political and commercial ties with China. There are a number of myths about China's investment in Africa and reasons for them to be dispelled. So FOCAC happens every 3 years, and it's been used as a platform to announce new Chinese commitments to deepen economic links with the continent. Misconception one, infrastructure financing is the only game in town. So China's presence in Africa is often discussed synonymously with the Belt and Road Initiative, or BRI, and the Chinese president's expansive policy framework to connect China with other regions via ports, railways, and fiber optic cables. Government financing of infrastructure undergrids the effort, and Chinese construction firms are involved in dozens of billion-dollar projects in African markets, and these Chinese financing is helping close a massive infrastructure gap estimated at $170 billion per year by the African Development Bank. Misconception number two, Beijing orchestrates all BRI investment activity. That's been brought to question. There is significant competition amongst Chinese companies fighting for the same large-scale infrastructure contracts in the region. And misconception number three, African governments are being swindled by Beijing. This final myth is that African governments are passive in negotiating contracts with the Chinese and regularly coerced into accepting bad deals. Over the past 15 years of increased Chinese activity in the region, African governments are well aware of these Chinese interests and have been refining their negotiating tactics to better advance development objectives. A new Ebola virus has been found in bats.
Oh, no.
With the potential to infect humans. We just cannot shake this virus. The new species has been discovered in bats in Sierra Leone and has the potential to infect human cells, although it has not yet been detected in sick humans. So, yeah, another challenge for scientists.
Not yay.
No, definitely not yay.
That is very far from yay.
Just as we're making progress on one strain, another appears. Indonesians have fled to higher ground in regional tsunami drill. Indonesian high school students fled to higher ground as tsunami warning sirens blared, launching an evacuation exercise across a region devastated by a 2004 disaster, which killed over 200,000 people. So this drill simulated a magnitude 9.3 earthquake off the west coast of Indonesia's Sumatra Island. A total of 24 countries bordering the Indian Ocean from Australia to Yemen are taking part in this biennial disaster preparedness exercise. So, yeah, it involves a lot of people, and it's all in the name of safety in Indonesia, which is one of the most disaster-prone nations on Earth. Mm. And, yeah, those are the five things that you need to know.
Well, thank you, Leah. If we have to look at crypto, Gareth, do you want to talk about how your experience with Facebook has been? I saw that post of yours as well.
What? What about it?
You were trying to offload some of your Facebook?
No, not for a while. Why? Well, where did you read that?
No, I saw that on your Instagram, because now I'm looking at the crypto update. I'm looking, Bitcoin is all red, Ethereum is also red, and going down a bit. So, not exactly the best of times, should we say? Did we just lose him there for a second?
Perhaps.
Oh, well.
I'm guessing that's what happened.
That's what happened. So I don't want to disappoint in that front. Let's not carry on further with crypto. And then, of course, I feel so bad.
Why?
Ben isn't here. We didn't say that at the top of the show, at least. Let's start off.
Oh, isn't he?
Yeah, can you let me know?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
We just...
I misunderstood. I bought... I was messing around on online buying some American shares. I bought Facebook because it dropped by 3.5% on Tuesday. So I thought, all right, this is a good opportunity to buy. And it's actually gone up nicely already. But I'm really just messing around because, you know, I don't like Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm actually just – I mean, it was a little bit of money. So I just thought, let me see if I can do this. And frankly, it's done better than cryptocurrencies have. Oh. Which have still gone through the toilet. So currently Bitcoin $6,443. That's almost a new low. And $228 for Ethereum. So definitely not the highest they've been in 2018.
Yeah. And we were just noting that actually Ben isn't on the show this morning because he's out and about somewhere.
I hadn't noticed.
Oh, you had?
No.
No.
Shit.
No.
He's been very grumpy the last 2 days, hasn't he?
Well, I just think Ben and Grumpy are synonymous.
Yes. What do you mean the last 2 days, Gareth?
Anyone who's so young but so old.
Yeah, exactly. He is. He's an old man.
I think I'll refrain from saying anything.
What's going on then?
So, yeah, I saw the video of Nolo kicking down the door, which is hilarious.
Yo.
What happened there?
Yeah, now these people, trust me, Leanne, you're sitting in a studio with dangerous people.
I'm pretty scared right now.
Very
Please
dark.
Please give
horses.
Leanne context.
Let's put it that way. A couple of days ago, we had some studio door issues because we were locked out of the door that requires a security code get in. And we were getting so pressed for time because it was a little after six that the only thing that we could do was break the door down to get in and start the show.
It's a glass door, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hardcore.
Well, she's freaking on a black belt.
I kept saying the intention was not to break the glass. It was for us to be able to come in without actually breaking the door. So all I did was break the lock.
Oh.
And the door is still there. So,
yeah. Well done on that.
Well, I'm now convinced if we get on Nola's bad side, she could essentially just kill us and somehow not leave any trace of herself.
I can promise you this is I'm not violent. I'm not a violent person. If I feel that things are getting heated up, I literally just walk away.
So you've never used your martial arts skills on anyone?
I have, but I was getting robbed and as a result I got stabbed. So I didn't have a choice but to, you know, retaliate.
What did you do to them? Are they still alive to speak about this?
I'd hope so. I'd hope so, because I have the wounds. You know, I carry the wounds for the rest of my life. So.
I am never going to mess with you.
And nothing was ever taken from all those incidents, if I should say.
Hmm.
Sure.
Just not going to.
I have a new friend.
No.
Yeah.
That's what you call it, an emergency from now on.
Yeah.
And you, I now understand why all of her social media handles are the Black Ninja.
Right. All makes sense now.
Very apt. I thought, oh, it's just a pseudonym, something cool.
No.
Now I totally understand why. And with Ben not here, though, we aren't going to get into sport.
Cause no, we're not even going to try that.
Yeah. No, it'll be a horrible thing to hear.
Yeah.
None of us will be any use to each other, trust me.
Yeah, I don't even know what the games are, who's playing, what's the biggest thing.
No, I don't even try.
I just know when sport intersects with popular culture. I know which sports star has Instagrammed recently. That's just...
I do know that Usain Bolt is looking at getting into football.
Yeah?
Oh.
Really? Yeah. That's one thing I did read yesterday.
That's been for a while, though. He's been training for football for some time.
Oh, you see, it's old news. Oh.
Well,
yeah. So let's not talk about sport, as I said just now.
Just rather making it good and safe for all of us. Instead, though, I think it is time for the happiest segment on the show. Say you?
Said by Sia.
There we go. And you know, every time on Said by Sia, as much as I love to bring you some happy news, I also like to showcase the good in society and what we do in terms of technology. So take a listen to this morning. We in society may soon be able to melt down plastic waste into fuel for hydrogen cars. Isn't that something?
That's good news.
Sure. Right? Discarded plastic could be used to fuel cars in the future thanks to a groundbreaking process developed by scientists from Swansea University. Now, these scientists have been able to transform unwanted plastic into hydrogen, which in turn could be used to run cars. Dr. Kunal of the university's chemistry department explains how light-absorbing material are used and added to the plastic before it is placed in an alkaline solution and then exposed to sunlight, and that in turn creates hydrogen. He said this process could be cheaper than recycling because any kind of plastic can be used and it doesn't need to be cleaned first. His direct quote is, there's lots of plastic used every year, billions of tons, and only a fraction of it is being recycled. We in turn are trying to find a use for what is not being recycled. Now, most plastic bottles are made from PET, which can be recycled, but often end up being burned or thrown into a landfill. But meanwhile, Dr. Kunal said, but even if you do recycle, it needs to be very, very pure. So only PET, nothing else mixed in it with it. And it has to be clean with no grease or no oil. So now potentially you need to wash it because it is very expensive. And even after you do all of that, the plastic you get isn't always as nice as virgin material. The beauty of this process, though, is that it's not very picky and can degrade all sorts of waste. So listen to that.
Finally, something to do with plastic straws, which are just a bane and apparently are never recycled. And, you know, again, it's expensive and it just doesn't get done.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's great news.
Yeah, kudos to the scientists working at Swansea University. They are funded by the Engineering and Physical Sciences Research Council, and an Austrian from a petrochemical company had also shown how the remains of the plastic could be recycled to make new plastic. So this is exciting, to say the least. They don't exactly give a gauge of how far off they are in terms of taking this model and using it around the world. But I think it's good news nonetheless. And that's your Said by Sia for this morning.
Lovely.
Awesome. I'm going to have to go, guys. We're going to start our program just now. But I will, I'll check in with you if I can tomorrow morning. And then I'm back on Monday.
Fantastic. Nice. Thank you so much for the update, Gareth. It was very cool to chat to you.
Cool. Speak to you later.
Likewise. Have fun.
Cheers.
And so as we wrap up the first hour, it was actually cool to catch up with Gareth, find out what he's doing.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Jeepers.
Apart from the porcelain bears on his Instagram, we got to find out get like proper context on it all. As we wrap up the first hour, though, just another reminder, the clock is ticking for you to win an entrepreneurial package worth 2 million rands with Alpha Code. Alpha Code is inviting applicants for its prestigious Alpha Code Incubate program that seeks to identify and reward high potential innovative entrepreneurs to boost the development of fintech and financial services in South Africa. 16 businesses will be invited to pitch for 8 places on the Alpha Code Incubate program. The final 8 businesses will complete a customized 12-month program and will benefit from an entrepreneurial package worth 2 million rands each. Now, the package consists of 1 million rands in grant funding, 1 million rands worth of support, including mentorship, monthly expert-led sessions, exclusive office space in Sandton, marketing, legal, and other business support services, as well as access to RMI's networks. So the first round of applications, open up your calendars, make a note wherever you make notes, and remember this, the first round of applications will close this Friday, the 7th of September 2018, and terms and conditions apply. Find out more on the cliffcentral.com website. So that's it. First hour done and dusted.
Look at that.
Yeah, we're a good team.
We did without Ben. Where's Ben? Who's Ben? What?
Who is a Ben?
What is a Ben?
What is a Ben exactly? So if you do want to be like Gareth, you can chat to us on the show this morning. You can Skype us using our name, Cliff Central Studio. You can also WhatsApp us, 079-748-2090. And you can also call us, 0861-555-189. We'll answer any of your questions. We'll hear any of your stories out. Leanne is ready to give you information on relationship advice.
Yeah, because I'm a sterling example of great relationships.
Nola's on standby to let you know how to deal with that annoying colleague or family member.
Oh, my God.
How you can slice their throats.
Break down doors.
One foul swoop.
This is bad because already, because of my goth get-up sometimes, people are convinced that I'm that person.
Ooh. To say the least, yes. And I'm on standby to...
We don't know.
Teach
you how to twerk.
I'll teach you That's how to twerk one. And I'll indulge any of your issues. So get connected with us. That is the first hour of the show. We'll be back and ready for the next hour with Karen Morn and the Burning Platform and touching on some of your biggest news stories and any funny little bits we can add to brighten up and make your day a little easier. It is the Gareth Cliff Show. CliffCentral.com.